Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Today, I'm speaking with Nicole Rochella. She's the Regional Communications Manager for the Red Cross of Greater Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today, Nicole.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is some really important topics. The first half of the show, we're going to talk about worsening extreme weather. And in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about a shortfall of blood supply. But I want to start with that National Preparedness Month that we're talking about in September for the American Red Cross. And that's urging everyone to prepare for extreme weather, because we know what happens this time of year. We can go from cold and rainy to extreme heat very, very quickly.
Yeah, we're feeling the fall temperatures now as summer just ended. So, September is National Preparedness Month, but of course, it's something we want families to be thinking about year round. So making sure that your family has an emergency kit, you have a plan in place, where you're going to meet, who you're going to call, and that sort of thing. And also a plan to stay informed, who you get emergency alerts from, and the meteorologists you follow, and local weather sources as well. So all important to keep in mind, not just this month, but year round.
Mm-hmm. I see that, severe weather trends really force the Red Cross into action, right? And I think what's really important for people to know is that the American Red Cross really has to jump into action whenever the weather patterns change. That really causes natural disasters. And I'm reading a little bit about the Red Cross, and that severe weather and that worsening trend has forced the Red Cross to respond to nearly twice as many large disasters as they did in a decade ago. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's alarming, definitely. So basically, the Red Cross is, seeing these changing patterns, these upward trends of weather that's more intense and more frequent, and it's affecting the families we serve. So, whenever we have these large hurricanes or wildfires or tornadoes, floods, heat waves, there's all sorts of things that anytime it's, impacting people and their homes and their communities, the Red Cross is there to help. So we're seeing this weather increase in frequency and intensity, and that's causing the Red Cross to adapt our services, making sure that we're there for families in need.
That's wonderful. I mean, but to respond to twice as many large disasters, I mean, you probably have to raise twice as much money and have twice as many volunteers. So part of why you're doing this interview today, I'm sure, is to remind people that you always need donations and you always need volunteers.
That's exactly right. So those are, when we see things like this in the news and you see those hurricanes and that are displacing hundreds of people, thousands of people, and you wonder what you can do to help. Those are, the exact two things that we need from people. The need to help during disasters has never been greater. So first, you can give the Red Cross a financial donation to American Red Cross Disaster Relief at redcross.org, or you can also call 1-800-RED-CROSS. This helps us to respond to disasters big and small. So that's, your house fire down the street from you, or these larger disasters like we see with hurricanes, wildfires, and such. But another big part of this, especially for our area, is recruiting the volunteers we need to respond. The Red Cross is actually 90% volunteer run. So that's a very large chunk of people who are, dedicating their time to helping their communities and even not communities that they live in, if they're, traveling down to Florida and such to help with hurricanes. So we're always looking for people to get involved. You can visit redcross.org/volunteer. You may be surprised to learn about all of the different volunteer opportunities and different roles you can be involved in. This ranges from, as I mentioned, responding to a home fire down the street that may have displaced one or two people or a single family, to, you know, a larger response where there's hundreds of people displaced from an apartment fire or condo building. And we need to, you know, set up a shelter. So we need people to work in those shelters and make sure everybody's getting the comfort and care they need. There's tons of other roles too, even if you are skilled in logistics, you know, or in technology, or even on the other side, maybe you're skilled in spiritual care, providing that kind of emotional support to people in need after they go through a disaster. So there's so many different positions that we're always looking to fill with volunteers who are ready and willing, whether you want to help here at home or also across the country.
Amazing. One of the things that I think you're really trying to push during National Preparedness Month is to make sure that every family has a kit, makes a plan, and stays informed. So let's break those down for a minute. What is a disaster kit?
Yeah, so, you know, making sure that your family has those essential supplies that you need. And if you would have to evacuate your home. So thinking about, you know, not just, you know, we all kind of know the food, water, that sort of thing. What if you don't have, you know, you're not able to use your cell phone because power's out, you can't charge your phone. You may need local maps. You'll need your phone numbers of, you know, people you would need to contact. I know I don't have a lot of, you know, even close family's phone numbers memorized anymore. We're just used to hitting their contact button. So, you know, those kinds of things, medication, important documents for your home, or important information about your pets, a photo of your pet and your family in case your pet were to go missing. Definitely thinking along the lines in this area, you know, we experience more storms and flooding, that sort of thing. So those are kind of the things you want to have in your kit. We have a list, kind of a checklist for you if you visit redcross.org/prepare. And next step, having a plan. You know, in a home fire, how are you going to get out? Going over that information with your kids, especially, and maybe if you have elderly people living in your home, who, you know, need to make sure they have two ways out of every room. You know, where are you going to meet after you escape after a fire? Having those plans in place. And finally, being informed is step number three. So again, keeping in mind, you know, when there's an emergency, having signed up for emergency alerts and making sure you're getting that information. So those are, you know, kind of the one, two, three of what we want people to do to be prepared. Another thing I'd like to mention is downloading the Red Cross Emergency app. We have a lot of tools on there. You know, it'll save you so much time rather than going to Google. It kind of, you know, has all of the steps right there that you may need in an emergency. We also have a pet first aid app. That's another great one that I think, you know, sometimes you're in a situation, might not know what to do. And we kind of lay it all out right there for you. So part of being informed, keeping those tips handy whenever the need may arise.
Yeah. And also, you know, just be informed generally about what's happening in the area. Like, okay, we're all going, you know, if we get separated, we're all going to tune in or turn on the radio and listen to this, so we know what's happening in our neighborhood, throughout the state, throughout the country, things like that. Because, you know, people just, I'm not sure that people are sort of watching the news. As a former news person myself, it saddens me to say that, right? But I'm not sure people are always informed when a storm is coming or something like that. And so keeping an eye on what's happening on the national scene and how it impacts you locally is going to be really important as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So with those three life-saving actions, you believe that the Red Cross actually is better prepared to help people. So they have their kit, so they know that they know how to get out, and they have some basic stuff with them. They have their plan, so they know they're going to be meeting. They're informed of where to go and how to get help. And then the Red Cross shows up and they're able to deliver relief and care. So once the Red Cross gets on site, why don't you tell people some things that they do? So let's say, like, you gave a couple examples, you can pick one, but you said maybe it was a local house fire or even a large apartment complex where, many people are impacted by a storm or a fire or a flood. What will the Red Cross do to help?
Yeah, so it can, like you said, vary from which type of disaster we're responding to. And even within that, a single home fire might be very different from a large apartment complex fire. But in general, the Red Cross, when we respond, we're looking to meet the urgent needs of the people who were just affected by that disaster. So, making sure that they have safe shelter, they have food to eat, they have the comfort and care that they need to kind of get through that first 72 hours. In a lot of situations, our role can also include things you might not think about, replacing medications or replacing medical equipment for people who, lost everything in a fire, replacing important documents like their driver's license, social security card, things like that that they may have left in their home. So there are so many things, that go into kind of meeting those urgent needs for people. And then, after that, you kind of are able to collect yourself once your basic needs are met. Then we have our caseworkers who work one-on-one with each family or person affected, and connect them with other social services that are more specialized in whatever their need is. So the Red Cross is really there within the initial aftermath of a disaster, and then in the days and weeks to come, constantly checking in, making sure that people are getting back on their feet and on the road to recovery.
The impact of severe weather, we really see it more, I think, on the news, or feel it more if you live in a community that's impacted by hurricanes. We always used to talk about in the news business the burr months, September, no, October, November, December. And that's when those burr months is when you would see those hurricanes. So we're just getting into that season now, right?
I haven't heard that burr month
Yeah, the burr months.
phrase before, but that's funny. Yeah, so the Red Cross responds to disasters all year long, but of course hurricane season is really busy. We've already seen that with Idalia and even Hurricane Lee coming up near New England. So something interesting about the Red Cross of Greater Pennsylvania. Our region of the Red Cross actually deploys the most volunteers to larger national disaster relief operations across the country. So those, big hurricane responses or the wildfires, like we've saw in Hawaii earlier this year. That means we have volunteers not just responding to our local disasters here, but they're also raising their hand and saying, I'm willing, to take 2 or 3 weeks away from my home and my family and fly or drive out to these larger disasters to volunteer as a Red Crosser. So, that only increases the need here to get more volunteers to continue to live up to that role that Pennsylvania has.
Nicole Rochella is the regional communications manager for the Red Cross of Greater Pennsylvania. And she's here with us today, really, to talk about National Preparedness Month. And that is an opportunity for families to make sure they get a kit, make a plan, and stay informed, particularly as we enter into severe weather months. Nicole, this has been such an interesting conversation. I hope you'll stay with us because after the break, Nicole is going to talk to us a little bit about the donation shortfall that may impact blood supply. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm here today with Nicole Rochella, and she is the Regional Communications Manager for the Red Cross of Greater Pennsylvania. Nicole, we're moving on to a topic about the donation shortfall impacting blood supply. Why don't you tell us where we are right now with the blood supply?
Yeah, so before the break, we were talking about how we're seeing an increase in extreme weather and it's impacting Red Cross services. We're having to adapt to greater needs for people who are impacted by disasters. But those disasters also had an impact on the blood supply. So Hurricane Idalia had further strained already a kind of summer shortfall that we were seeing with blood donations. When the hurricane came through, it canceled dozens of blood drives, and that meant hundreds of blood donations went uncollected. So that was on top of, we were already in kind of a shortfall with that we typically see in the summer months due to people traveling, going on vacations, spending holidays elsewhere. Basically that, blood donation wasn't really top of mind. Now we're at a more critical point with the Red Cross experiencing a national blood shortage. So now in the month of August, the Red Cross was at a shortfall of 30,000 donations. And each day the Red Cross needs to collect about a little more than 12,000 donations. So you think that's more than twice the amount. That 30,000 number of donations that we were in a shortfall for August. So this has an impact. If people are living with urgent medical needs or chronic diseases, and they need our blood donations, we're not able to keep up with the demand of hospitals. We're giving more blood to the hospitals than are coming into us in donations. So we're really looking for people to come out and give blood and give this life-saving gift.
There's so many benefits to the blood donor too. I just wonder if people even realize that one of the things that I think is particularly important is if you don't know your blood type, the easiest way to find out is to go into the Red Cross and donate blood and they'll tell you your blood type, which is, really important. Whether you're O negative or O positive or B negative or A negative, whatever it is, you can find that out by going there. But you also, you've offered in the past some e-gift cards as well, right?
Yeah, that's a great point, what you said about the blood types too. That's how I found out my blood type, just by giving blood. And there's, you kind of get a mini little checkup before you give blood. So checking your blood pressure and other levels, so it's always a good check-in without going to the doctor's office. But yeah, we do, do special promotions throughout the year to get people to hopefully entice them to come in and give blood. Right now though, it's at a critical point where people in the hospital, patients are depending on people, depending on the generosity of the public to come out and give. So we're hoping with this, call to action that everyone will, who can, will come out to give blood.
I think another piece that we have to remember too, I'm listening to you talk about being a Red Cross volunteer, right? And sometimes offering to leave your family for 2 or 3 weeks to respond to a disaster. And some people listening right now might say, Nicole, there's no way I can do that. I can't leave for 2 or 3 weeks. Okay. But can you leave for 45 minutes to go give some blood? Because that's just as important at some point. And this is one of those points. So Why don't you tell people who may never have donated blood before, where do you even start?
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. It is just, you know, an hour of your day or even less. If you're able to come out and give blood, it's something I enjoy doing. I love, you know, the feeling of knowing that I helped somebody that day by going in to give blood. And it's just a very short amount of your time to go and do something so good and so helpful to somebody else. So the first place to start is going to redcrossblood.org and typing in your zip code. A list of blood drives near you will pop up. You select a time and you know, put on your schedule and put on your calendar and come in to give blood that day. And we have so many resources on our website, but, you know, before you come to give blood, always good to stay hydrated, eat an iron-rich meal, and, you know, be well rested the night before. But otherwise, you know, most of people, you know, walk out of their blood donation appointment feeling, you know, perfectly fine, ready to go about their day and continue what they're doing. So we appreciate everyone who will take a second and consider giving blood, visiting redcross.blood.org to sign up for an appointment.
How old do you have to be and how much do you have to weigh?
So here in Pennsylvania, I want to get it completely right because there are different rules for each state.
Yeah, I think every rule has a different state of how old you have to be. But, you know, bringing your driver's license is really important, just required for check-in, right? And then once you check in, they're going to check your age and make sure your weight is where it needs to be.
Yeah, and you also mentioned how once you donate with the Red Cross, you see your blood type. Another really cool thing, you know, when you sign up and you give blood and you get to see where your blood donation went. I think that's probably one of my favorite parts about giving blood, not only knowing that you're helping someone, but seeing exactly where. So it'll tell you, you know, your steps along the way, where your blood is in the testing and processing phases, and then when it goes out to delivery and when it's delivered to a hospital with a patient in need. So that's always a really cool, like, full circle moment for me to see where my blood went.
Oh, I think that's amazing. And with technology, that's all possible now, which is great. Right. It looks like, according to your website, 17 years of age in most states, 110 pounds, generally in good health, makes you eligible to donate blood. So, you know, I think that that's pretty much the audience that's listening today is over 17, 18 years old and probably could donate blood. Anyone out there who you would say, don't worry about these donations. Is there some people's blood you just can't take, right?
Sure. There's a list of eligibility requirements, and we mm-hmm. have that all on our website too.
Okay.
A great way to find out is if you fill out the rapid pass for your blood donation, it kind of goes through that list of health history questions before you come to donate, and it'll save you about 15 minutes when you do come to your appointment. So that's also really great to do too.
Perfect. We were talking a little bit too about, before I talked to you, about a platelet supply. Can you explain to people what the platelet is versus the blood and why that's needed?
Yeah. So platelets are the key clotting component of blood. And these are most often needed by cancer patients. You know, it could also be for people battling other life-threatening illnesses and injuries. But the interesting thing about platelets is that they have to be transfused to a patient just 5 days after you give a donation, which is much less than a normal blood donation. So that's why there's a constant and often critical need for new and current platelet donors to keep up with that hospital demand.
Yeah, very important. So when you go to give blood, do you indicate whether you want to give blood or platelet, or can you give both? Sorry for the the novice question, but you would know and I wouldn't.
No, it's okay. So it's kind of a different setup. So you'll make a specific appointment for a platelet donation versus a whole blood donation, which is another term for a typical blood donation. So, you know, at the Red Cross, we have it at certain drives just because of the equipment needed. But you'll be able to see that right when you visit redcrossblood.org, select your appointment. It would say give blood or give platelets or give plasma. So.
And it's not as scary or painful as people think, right? I remember once you told me that you yourself were even a little bit afraid to give blood until you did it once. And then right. Your fear sort of went away.
Yeah, I think it was kind of the fear of the unknown, just not knowing what it would feel like. But it truly was just the quickest slight pinch. Sometimes, you know, you don't even feel it. And I don't know, to me, it's so worth it for what you're giving and what you're going to be doing to help a patient in the hospital. You know, you think about what those families and what those patients are going through, makes it all worth it to me.
Really does. And it's so important to, you know, like I said, just give a little bit of your time, and giving blood can help make such a big impact, because we know with the weather worsening that blood donations for natural disasters may really, that need ramp up. And so we have to be careful about that. So tell us again about the website, the phone number, how people can find out more about you.
Yeah, so just learn about the Red Cross. You can visit redcross.org. We have so many resources on there, whether you're interested in volunteering for disasters, or if you want to volunteer at blood drives, if you want to host a blood drive, that information's on there. If you'd like to give blood, you can visit redcrossblood.org and find your appointment that way, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. We have everything on there, and hoping that, you know, you find something that inspires you to get involved.
There are opportunities to give blood, give platelets, volunteer, and donate. How do you use the money of the donations that comes in?
So when people donate to the Red Cross, it could be for disaster relief, going out and providing financial assistance to families who have gone through a home fire, for example, or, you know, on a large scale hurricane like we're seeing, providing food and emergency relief supplies to all of those people who are displaced from their homes. Again, the Red Cross is there to meet the urgent needs of people who are going through a disaster. And there's a lot of moving pieces that go into that. If you think about large hurricanes, you know, the Red Cross is pre-positioning supplies and volunteers ahead of the storm hitting, so that when it hits, we're ready to, you know, when it's safe, move out and get into those communities that were hit. So there's so much that goes into it. It's a large operation. But you know, we have all these wonderful volunteers who give it that human connection and provide that comfort and care to people as they're going through these tragedies.
You must love your job. I mean, what a meaningful and an impactful job that you have.
It really is. You know, it's important to me that my work is helping people in some way. So to be a part of an organization like the Red Cross, where, you know, part of my line of work specifically is telling the story of the Red Cross and the people we're helping, and also of our wonderful volunteers. So I do get to see it, you know, up close and personal, the work that we do and how it helps people. And I know if I was, you know, ever involved in a disaster like a home fire, it, you know, brings me peace to know that the Red Cross is there for families like that. And all of our disaster assistance is free. Or if I was, you know, battling a health issue in the hospital and needed blood, 1 in 7 people who go into the hospital end up needing a blood transfusion. And knowing that, you know, there's donors out there who are generous enough to give an hour of their day every 56 days to give blood, and know that that would be there for me. I think that's, I don't know, it puts me at peace knowing that there's great people in our community who want to help others.
Nicole Rochella is the Regional Communications Manager for Red Cross of Greater Pennsylvania. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.